and said, "How did Sally look?" His broad pink face was wrinkled with emotion. He tapped his fork silently against his lip. Mikey said, "She never stopped looking exactly like herself." Mikey's hands, resting in his lap, suddenly looked dead and felt dead. Alice said, "You can't blame yourself for any of this, Lynn. You got scared and lashed out a bit. I've probably done worse in the past 24 hours. I gave 3 different people the finger just on the drive over here. You'd probably fall out of your chair, go running for the hills if you knew half the bad shit I've done." Mikey wondered where Alice was going with this, but was relieved at the prospect of a new topic of conversation. "Like what?" he said. "Yes," Lynn said, brightening, "like what?" Alice said, "Stole 1 piece of a 1,000-piece puzzle at the library." Mikey said, "Do better than that." Sam said, "Tell about the chicken thing, remember? 6th grade?" Alice looked at him. "The chicken thing?" She looked puzzled for a moment. Then she grimaced. "Oh," she said. Alice pushed wild black hair back from her face. "That's nowhere near the worst thing I've done, but..." "What's the chicken thing?" Issa said. "You must not think bad of me," Alice said, straightening up in her chair, holding up her right palm as though speaking under oath. "I was young, and these hoodlums," she looked around the table, indicating the rest of them, "put me up to it."
"Did we?" Mikey said.
Alice took a swallow of wine and continued. "My aunt, who lived out in Springville, had a pool. Sometimes my mom would drive the whole lot of us out to swim in the summer. She was out in the boondocks, had chickens. One afternoon, we got McDonald's on the way, and I didn't finish my nuggets." Lynn said, "That's right, I remember now." Alice said, "I tossed my leftover nuggets into the coop when my aunt wasn't watching." Issa said, "Oh? Oh." "They ate them." Alice winced and nodded. Mikey said, "They devoured them." Issa said, "Diabolical." Lynn laughed. "Oh, come on, Alice. That's not that bad. You know those nuggets barely even have any real chicken in them anyway." "Well," Alice said, "I felt so bad that the next day I killed a man and ate him so I'd know what it was like." Mikey was laughing and laughing. Alice looked at him. "All right, funny pants. What's the worst thing you've ever done?" Mikey cleared his throat. He was quiet for a bit. "The worst thing I've ever done?" Alice said. "Well, I'm thinking," Mikey said. He could quickly recall plenty of shitty little things he'd done. Petty grudges, nasty insults under his breath, moments of quiet rage, terrible thoughts toward people. But Mikey had never acted out on them. His anger had always been suppressed at the critical moment, right? The worst thing he'd ever done? Was there anything truly unforgivable? Mikey's thoughts turned, and the question was reversed in his head. What was the best thing he'd ever done? The birthday cards to his friends? Fresh-baked goods now and then to his father, who probably still preferred his Chips Ahoy when it came right down to it? Offering to work Thanksgiving and Christmas so a colleague could spend it with their family, when for Mikey it was a great relief not to spend an obligatory holiday with his father? These were small niceties, and they required so little of him. Was there a best thing? Even a great or truly good thing? Mikey was suddenly disheartened by all these manufactured little courtesies he performed. Disheartened by the idea that his very best things amounted to jack shit. He quickly tried to put this out of his mind. His thoughts returned to the question at hand, the worst thing. And there was abruptly a nagging pull on his brain, almost physically painful, a sharp tug in an uncertain direction. He just hadn't quite landed on it, couldn't quite find the words. Alice said, "Let me guess. One time, you cut the tag off your mattress." Mikey laughed and took a sip of wine.
He finally said, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Alice said, Mikey, you really are a disappointment to me.
She took a sip of her wine, then asked, too many worst things to choose from or not enough?
I'm not sure, Mikey said.
Alice said, maybe your worst thing is still yet to come. Look out. The caterers cleared their plates and began to set out silverware for dessert.
Lynn said, I'm stuffed. Can we take a break? Take some Tums and stretch out our tummies before dessert? Lie around in the other room for a bit. I'll brew coffee.
Alice said, I'm going to eat more lamb in that case.
Mikey said, let's send the caterers on their way. Snow's really coming down out there.
Alice filled another plate with lamb and poured two glasses of bourbon over ice. She handed one glass to Mikey.
He said, I don't know if I need...
Be a friend, Alice said. I hate drinking alone. I'll do it, but I hate it.
Lynn brought a pot of coffee and mugs and a bowl of sugar into the main room. Mikey checked his phone where he had a voicemail. He reported to the others.
Jimmy's flight got pushed back again, set to land at 9. He may not make it out here tonight, depending on the weather. He may just grab a hotel near the airport and try to catch us in the morning.
Alice said, he is avoiding us. I knew it.
Sam said, maybe one of you musicians would want to play us some tunes?
Lynn said, that is one serious piano.
Chris, appearing quite drunk and vaguely ghoulish with wine-stained teeth, said,
I'm more comfortable on vocals.
Alice said, babe, why don't you take a knee on that?
Chris shot her a nasty look and said,
then I'm going to go check my phone for a while.
She wobbled a bit as she went up the stairs to the master bedroom.
Alice gave them all a weary look and said, trust me, you do not want to be subjected to her vocals.
Mikey sipped his coffee and said, is her singing voice quite similar to her speaking voice?
Sam snorted into his fist.
Lynn said, she's very beautiful, Alice, and she seems very nice.
She is, Alice agreed. And she is. I know I'm too hard on her. I'm just too hard.
She took a sip of her bourbon and threw her braid over her shoulder.
Issa took a seat at the piano and began to play a melody that was soft and warm and slightly sad.
Sam said to Lynn, what's he playing?
Lynn said, Thelonious Monk, Round Midnight.
Issa swayed gently over and back the keys, up and down between registers. His head rolled smoothly over his neck. Fingers lifted and grazed and caressed the keys, a slow and beautiful dance. Mikey glanced over at Alice when a low vibration emerged from her lips.
Are you purring? He said.
I'm relishing the moment.
Alice, Lynn, Mikey, and Sam listened to the music and didn't speak for a few minutes. It was completely dark outside now, and darkish in the room, which was lit by only a few hanging lamps that gave off a soft golden light. Fresh snowfall was illuminated against the wall of windows. The fire on the far side of the room crackled and hissed. When Mikey glanced at Sam's face, he was surprised to see that Sam's broad pink cheeks shone with tears. Mikey reached over and patted Sam's knee. You all right?
Oh, Sam wiped his eyes. It's the reason Justine's not here.
Uh-huh, Mikey said.
Alice said, yeah?
She miscarried, Sam said in a broken and uncontrolled voice, and then he wept loudly, wetly.
Alice leapt up from her seat to go next to Sam, and she threw her arms around his neck.
Sam leaned his head against Alice's and sobbed harshly for a moment, then hiccuped.
We've been trying for years. She was 9 weeks along, size of a lima bean, they said.
Justine was already sure it was a girl. We called her Bunny.
Alice rubbed his back.
Sam hiccuped once more.
We were going to announce it to you guys in person. He sniffed and wiped his eyes.
Anyhow,
Alice, that's why it's hard to hear about. It's not that I don't agree with your cause, it's just hard.
Alice said, I get it.
Sam wiped his eyes with the back of his wrists and moved Alice's black hair out of his face, handling it like a dirty Kleenex, something he didn't particularly want to touch.
When we were having a hard time getting pregnant, he said, Justine got it in her head that if I stopped drinking, it'd be better. Some doctor told her that having a cleaner system can help with the sperm count.
So that's why you're not drinking.
Sam nodded.
I stuck with it once she got pregnant, too, thinking that'd make it easier on her.
It obviously doesn't matter now.
I don't think she'll be up for trying anytime soon. But it still seems like the right thing to do to stick with it.
I should have just explained earlier.
Alice nodded.
I get it. Sorry I gave you so much grief.
She grabbed Sam's hand and kissed the back of it 5 times fast.
Sam said, I wasn't gonna come here after all, but Justine encouraged me.
She's staying with her sister.
Mikey said, I'm so sorry, Sam.
Better days ahead, Sam said with a heavy sigh.
Lynn nodded.
Always.
Alice said, Is there anything we can do?
Sam shook his head.
It'll happen for us when it's supposed to happen for us.
Lynn said, You will make a great dad when it happens.
Alice kissed his hand again, then held it in her own lap, and he rested his head on her shoulder. They listened to Issa's music without speaking for a few minutes. Mikey's thoughts turned unexpectedly to his own father. Mikey still had no clue about his mother's identity, or even if she was still alive, and could not help wondering now how it had all gone down 31 years ago. Mikey tried to imagine how a mother might have announced to his father that she was expecting, and what his father's reaction might have been. Mikey had never once seen his father display joy. He could not imagine his father ever having the same sort of emotion toward him that Sam already had for the lima bean-sized bunny. The depth of the joy, the grief over the loss. Mikey thought it was very possible that his father never wanted to be a father. Or perhaps, Mikey thought, his father had once been like Sam, completely in love with the lima bean-sized dream of Mikey, but the love had disappeared along with Mikey's mother. Or perhaps the love had drained from him over the years, a slow leak. Either way, the result was a father who now seemed to have no more feelings toward his grown son than he had toward the weatherman. Had there ever been more between them? Mikey almost wished there was a break he could clearly identify. It seemed things might be easier if he could trace their trouble back to one particular event, one ultimate fight, a precise and abominable deed, or some official diagnosis of alcoholism, depression, or neglect. But the exact source had no name. Alice had gotten out of her seat and was doing a downward-facing dog in the middle of the room. Sam's voice interrupted Mikey's thoughts.
There is something else I wanted to talk to you guys about, he said.
Mikey watched as Sam's features drew together, reaching a dark and troubled expression.
I was gonna wait till Jimmy was here, but...
Sam scratched his chin, tilting his head up, and he swallowed, his Adam's apple leaping and bulging. He pushed his blonde hair back from his brow. Alice completed her stretch and sat back down on the couch, breathing heavily, rubbing the heel of her hands into her long, firm thighs.
Sam said, Lynn, what you said about your own incident with Sally just a few weeks before she left us, that might have been a factor, but I'm afraid mine is much worse.
I'm afraid that mine...
Well, sometimes I'm afraid that Justine's miscarriage... And before that, our trouble getting pregnant. Sometimes I'm afraid these things are my punishment.
Mikey stared at him.
Alice said, "What on earth for?"
Sam said, "Alice, you were asking Mikey earlier about the worst thing he ever did. Well..."
Sam released a hot sigh that smelled bad, as though these next words had been stewing around in a sour belly for far too long.
"The worst thing I ever did was to Sally," he said. "She left the group because of me."
Chapter 19.
"I was in love with Sally all along," Sam explained. "From the time I was 6 to the time I was 16. And eventually..."
Sam paused, shaking his head slowly.
"Eventually, I thought, after all those years loving her, I had it in my head that loving her so long and so hard meant that I deserved her,"
Sam said, wincing at this word.
Sam cracked his knuckles over his large belly before continuing.
"On the night of her 16th birthday, I had a gift for her and was going to go to her house to tell her that I loved her. I had it all planned out."
Mikey glanced at Alice. She ran her fingers through the tip of her dark braid, swirling that black tail around a single bony knuckle.
Sam continued. "But I got there and saw through her bedroom window that she was there with someone. Someone else was in her bed." He turned to Alice.
"You probably remember I was at the Gunner house later that night. You came and found me there. And I told you what had happened. I was burning up with jealousy, turning inside out."
Sam turned to Mikey.
"I thought for a minute that it could be you. And I realized it had to be Jimmy."
Lynn said, "Jimmy and Sally were together?"
Sam nodded.
"There had been other things over the years. The time I caught her spending the night at his place in his basement. Anyway, I always tried to ignore it, convince myself otherwise, but that night when I saw her in bed with someone confirmed it. I caught up with Sally the next day on the way home from school. Cornered her as she went to her house. I told her I knew what was going on with Jimmy I had seen. At first, I tried to conceal the fact that I was in love with her, tried to make it like I was just angry because they were being secretive. But my emotions got the best of me, and that came out too. I told her that I loved her, and she had hurt me worse than anyone had ever hurt me before."
"What did Sally say?"
"She was crying. She begged me to calm down. She said, 'I never knew, I never meant to hurt you.' She said she would do anything to make things okay, that she didn't want anyone to know what I had seen, because she didn't want our group to be busted up."
Sam rubbed his temples before continuing. "We were at her house. Her mother wasn't home. I cornered her, pushed her against the wall."
Sam's voice vibrated as he continued, and his eyes were crammed shut, as though he were in a car and the brakes had just gone out, awaiting the collision.
"I grabbed her by the shoulders," he said. I told her to kiss me."
Mikey suddenly felt hot blood flashing through him.
Sam continued in a voice that had thickened with emotion.
"And I touched her breasts outside her shirt, but..."
Mikey had to look away from Sam. And when he looked back, Sam's face was drenched with slime, and Mikey felt ill.
"When our lips met," Sam continued, "all I could taste was the salt of her tears. I let go immediately, backed away. I knew I'd been wrong. I never deserved her, and she didn't owe me anything, not even a kiss. I begged her to forgive me and told her if she wanted to be with Jimmy, she should be with Jimmy. I told her I would never talk to her again."
Sam paused and he stared down into his lap.
"I can't look at you guys," he said quietly,
and a few tears dropped to his belly, darkening his white shirt like oil spots.
His whole body was curled into itself like a pill bug, and he made hollow sounds. Lynn said, "Sam, it's okay. You held back, right? That was it?"
Sam nodded. He sniffed long and hard, ground the heel of his hand into his temple.
"And right away she said she forgave me. I didn't deserve it, but she said it was okay, and that I didn't have to stop talking to her. She said she didn't want anyone else to know any of this because she didn't want things to change."
Sam sniffed again, a wheeze and a rattle.
Lynn said, "It's okay, Sam."
Alice said, "Yes, it's okay," in a comforting tone. Mikey felt that he should reassure Sam, too, so he did, as a courtesy. But his heart was not in it. Sam pushed his wrists in his eye sockets, as though to scrub them clean.
Lynn said, "Is this why you became religious?"
"I wasn't really running toward anything in particular, religion or otherwise, as much as I was running from Lackawanna. From home, and you guys. I responded to an ad for a room and board included camp counselor position in Georgia. It was just the first thing I found."
Lynn said, "And did you find what you were looking for there?"
"Nothing took away the shame. No amount of scripture or sermons that tell me I'm forgiven, or even Sally saying so herself. It still makes my insides squinch up every time I think about it. Wakes me up at night. Still makes me feel like a hopeless loser. I still feel like I'm being punished. Like I said, I think about sometimes our difficulty getting pregnant, the miscarriage."
Sam's voice trailed off to a murmur. Mikey was trying to reconcile in his mind the image of Sam at age 16 forcing his large mouth onto Sally's small mouth, his large hands onto her small breasts, with Sam at age 9 putting underwear over his head for laughs, so pitiful and needy for the validation of the others that he would stop at nothing to entertain them. And Sam now, at age 31, still wrecked by the memory, still convinced he was a hopeless loser, still certain he was being punished and was deserving of this. Mikey wasn't ready to speak words of comfort to Sam, nor any of condemnation. He hoped this information would not forever contaminate their friendship, but he still did not find himself eager to extend generous words. Sam turned solemnly to Mikey and said,
"You knew about this, didn't you? What happened between Sally and me?"
Mikey looked up at him sharply.
"What? No. This is the first I'm hearing any of this."
"Really?"
Sam gazed at him with one brow arched. "I could have sworn. Well, I guess my eyes deceived me."
"What?" Mikey frowned at Sam, awaiting explanation.
"A few days after that happened between Sally and me," Sam said, "I saw her coming out of your house in the evening, hunched over like she didn't want to be seen. The expression on her face was like she'd been crying. I figured she had confided in you about what happened between me and her. The two of you were always close. I couldn't imagine any other reason she'd be at your house."
Mikey said, "Sally hadn't been in my house for years, not since we were little. Once we hit middle school, before even, we always just hung out at the Gunner house. My dad didn't like when other people were over." Mikey closed his eyes to briefly search the recesses of his mind, allowing for the possibility that something had escaped.
"No," he said definitively, eyes snapping open.
"She wasn't there. You must have been mistaken."
Sam wiped sweat from his face. "I really thought for all these years you knew what happened, but just had the good grace to let me back into your life in spite of it."
"No," Mikey was shaking his head. "I didn't." He cut himself off a split second before adding, "I wouldn't." Mikey was angered by Sam's assumption that he had just somehow privately made his peace with Sam without any sort of reckoning.
He quickly drank more of his bourbon and stared at the far wall to avoid eye contact with any of the others. His jaw was tight, his teeth bearing down as if they had been adhered top to bottom with cement. He felt pissed off, indignant, unsympathetic, and ultimately ill-equipped for an actual fight with his friend. With a cough, Lin broke a lengthy and uncomfortable silence to ask Sam something else about church. Sam answered, "It's helped me in a lot of ways. My temper, outlook, being a better person and partner than I would be otherwise." Sam paused. "I know you guys think it's a weird way to be, this church stuff. And trust me, I do not think it makes me any kind of saint." Alice said, "You know what my Gram said right before she died? Her last words?"
"What's that?"
"She had a chaplain in there with her, and the guy starts reading scripture. Gram seems all annoyed. She looks around the room, asks who this guy is and why he's reading to her. My dad explains to Gram that the chaplain is there to bring her peace, to help her, just in case she's scared. You know what my Gram said? She goes, 'Sure, death's a little scary, but life is the real bitch.' Then she closed her eyes and croaked."
Lynn laughed. "Those were really her last words?"
Alice nodded. "And the chaplain was quiet for a minute. Then he looked around the room and said, 'You know what? I completely agree with her.' What I'm trying to say is that I think there are some things we can all agree on."
Alice took a sip of her bourbon. She pulled a throw blanket from the top of the couch and spread it over her legs.
"Listen, I told Mikey this earlier and wasn't going to bring it up tonight. I didn't know how much we'd really feel like getting into all this business, but Sam, you ought to know that I was the one in Sally's bed that night."
Lynn said, "You mean you were sleeping over?"
Alice let out a bark of a laugh. "Sorry. No, guys, Sally and I were involved. Sexually."
Lynn and Sam stared at her. Sam's mouth flopped open.
"Sally was gay?"
Alice said, "We were involved for over a year before that night when you saw us together at her house."
Sam said, "But you were at the Gunner house that night. We talked."
Alice nodded.
"I didn't want anyone to know."
Sam blinked.
"Did Sally say something to you about what happened with me the next day? The kiss, the other stuff?"
Alice shook her head.
"Not a word. I knew you thought it was Jimmy and Sally who were together, but when nothing happened over the next few days, I just assumed you had decided to leave things be. I had no idea you confronted her. She didn't tell me that."
Sam was rubbing his chin, still wearing an awed expression.
"So, wow. How did things end between you and Sally?"
Lynn said, "And when?"
Alice said, "She never officially ended things with me, before ending things with all of us. We all lost her at the same time."
It was quiet for a bit. Alice picked at a loose thread in the throw blanket.
Mikey said, "It sounds like there was a lot that Sally knew about us that we didn't know about each other."
Sam nodded. "I guess maybe she thought she could protect us from each other.
Or ourselves."
Lynn said, "I wonder how Jimmy's doing."
Alice turned to Mikey.
"So what's your deep, dark secret?"
Mikey was quiet for a bit, and Alice revised her question. She said, "What did Sally know about you that no one else did?"
Mikey said, "I can't think."
"No secrets?"
"Hmm?"
"That's a pity."
Alice poured another bourbon for herself and Mikey.
"You disappoint me yet again."
Sam said, "I have one more secret."
Alice said, "Please, no more secrets from you. Good God, what's next? You litter? You steal flowers from graves and give them to your wife? I knew it. I knew it."
Sam laughed. "This is a good secret," he said. "When Justine made me quit drinking,
A buddy of mine. Well, anyhow, the point is, I have myself a smoke from time to time. And I've got a joint all rolled up and ready out in my glove compartment. Would anyone care to partake? He glanced at Lynn. As long as it wouldn't bother you. Not even remotely, Lynn said. Weed is the one thing that never got me into trouble. You guys go right ahead. Sam went out to his car. Alice went up to the master bedroom to check on Chris, and Lynn joined Issa, sitting next to him on the piano bench. He scooted over to make room for her. She rested her head on his biceps, and he leaned over and kissed the crown of her head. Issa moved his current melody down 2 octaves, and Lynn softly began to improvise above him with her right hand. Alice returned, and she now had a small spot of thick white cream on her chin. Mikey said, "You've got something." Alice said, "It's benzoyl peroxide, duh." She stared at him for a second. "You know, for acne." Mikey said, "Ah." Alice said, "I'm re-upping on bourbon. You are too. You want ice?" Mikey nodded and gazed down into his empty mug. The coffee pot was still half full and steaming on the coffee table. He filled his mug with coffee and said, "Can you grab me a splash of milk, too?" Alice said, "And a splash of milk for the little prince." She returned from the kitchen with a tray of ice in one hand and the bottle of bourbon in the other, and she set these items on the coffee table. Mikey said, "My milk?" Alice leaned over Mikey's coffee so that her chin was mere inches above the lip of the steaming mug. She opened her mouth, and a small quantity of milk plopped out of her mouth and straight into his coffee. She grinned with white lips. Mikey stared at her. "You are sick," he said. "Sick." Milk was still dripping from her chin. "I don't have 3 arms," she cackled. "What was I supposed to do?" Mikey scooted the mug away from him. Alice wiped milk from her lips and chin with her sleeve and continued to giggle gleefully as she jogged back to the kitchen, then returned with the carton of milk and a fresh mug. She said, "Don't be mad. I'm just trying to lighten the mood, grumpy grouch man." Alice placed ice in both tumbler glasses and poured a fresh inch of bourbon over them. "I enjoy you," she said. And Mikey wasn't sure if she was addressing him or the bourbon, so he didn't respond. Sam returned to the room with snow in his hair, the joint, and a lighter in hand. His cheeks were bright pink, and he smelled cold. Sam took a seat next to Alice, lit the joint, started it off with a good pull, the end glowing orange, and released a thick, thick cloud. He passed it to Alice, who took a hit, then passed it to Mikey. Mikey hadn't smoked since high school, and pulled harder than he'd intended. A cough sputtered from him, and he felt very hot and unpleasant for one moment. He passed the joint to Sam, and sank back into the couch. Soon, Mikey noticed something new in the texture of his lungs, and the fact that it was taking twice as long as usual to empty them. A warm sensation filled his eye sockets. He stared at the floor-to-ceiling windows across the room, the black sky and frozen lake beyond. Something about their colors forced a giggle from him. His muscles felt long and warm. Someone had turned up the brightness of this world and turned down the pace. He giggled again and stared at Alice, who now held the joint. All of her angles and edges were highlighted by shining rainbow thread. He couldn't take his eyes off her. Alice passed the joint his way, and Mikey said, in the slowest, thickest voice he had ever heard come forth from himself, "No, no, no." Alice laughed, and it sounded like a symphony. Mikey smiled and watched as Alice and Sam continued to pass the joint back and forth. His sullen grievance toward Sam was diminishing. If Lynn and Alice could forgive Sam's transgressions against Sally, Mikey decided, he could try to do the same. He gazed at Alice, who was chewing on ice from her own glass of bourbon, and she winked at him. He winked back. Next to Alice, Sam was now hunched lopsidedly into a seam of the leather couch, eyes closed, wearing a peaceful smile. Lynn and Issa continued to play softly together, Lynn's head resting against Issa's shoulder. Mikey closed his eyes and listened to the music, feeling a deep thrum of warmth for all of his friends. The music was the most kind, good, and gorgeous thing he had ever heard. He felt as if he had stepped into someone else's beautiful dream, one so good he didn't deserve to have any part of it.
Chapter 20. Sam eventually stirred, his eyes opening one at a time, and he licked his lips.
"That was a doozy," he said.
He blinked slowly, his hair disheveled. Alice crossed her eyes.
"This stuff ain't like it used to be."
"No, sir.
Catatonic."
Mikey reached for his bourbon, and the coldness and sharpness of the drink clarified his awareness. He felt slightly less profoundly stoned. Sam said, "Where's Issa?"
"He went to bed a few minutes ago," Mikey said.
Lynn was still at the piano, where she continued to improvise by herself.
"Time is it, anyway?" Sam said.
Mikey looked at his watch. 10:30, he said.
Sam said, "I'm gonna take a piece of pie to my bedroom. Wake me up if Jimmy gets here."
Alice went to the kitchen with Sam, and after he had gone upstairs, Alice returned to the main room with an apple pie, a carton of vanilla ice cream, plates, and silverware. Lynn joined Alice and Mikey on the couch, and the three of them ate together.
"Any word from Jimmy?" Lynn said.
Alice and Mikey both double-checked their phones and shook their heads.
"Damn," Lynn said. "I hope he'll come by early tomorrow. I'd hate to miss him altogether."
Now that Mikey was less high, his mind was once again cycling unpleasantly over the information he now knew about Sam and Sally, the scene taking on new horror and specificity in his imagination. He felt goodwill leaching out of himself. He turned to Alice and said, "I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but what are you guys actually thinking about what Sam told us? Are you still thinking about it? Are you okay with it?"
Alice grunted.
"Okay with it? Hell no. Hell no, no, no. But..."
She was quiet for a bit.
"What are we gonna do? Excommunicate the guy?"
Mikey said, "You just seemed quick to offer him..."
His voice dropped off. He wasn't sure what he meant. He didn't want to seem ungenerous.
Lynn suggested comfort.
Mikey said, "Not that he doesn't deserve it. That just wasn't my instinct in the moment."
Alice said, "A lot of people have been more generous with me than I've deserved over the years. I know how I can be. So I guess I feel like it's in my best karmic interests to offer other people generosity when I can. Comfort. The guy's obviously suffering."
Mikey nodded.
Lynn said, "It just seemed like the right thing to give him in that moment. It's obvious he's sorry, still hurting, mortified. That being said, and I really hate the phrase, forgiven, not forgotten, but..."
Lynn chewed over her words for a moment.
"It's also just not the sort of thing you can completely disassociate from a person once you know it. You guys know what I'm saying? I don't mean to sound harsh."
Alice nodded. "It's true. Frightening how several seconds of your life can impact someone else's opinion of your entire personhood. You know what I mean? How quickly your mind changes in some cases, and how impossible it is to change it in other cases once it's been made up."
Alice seemed to speak with a deep personal knowledge of this, and Mikey's thoughts flickered once again to her first husband. He wondered if Alice's opinion of the saint had changed on a dime, and what sort of circumstance had brought that about.
Lynn said, "That happened to me once. Long time ago, but it still disconcerts me to think about it."
"Exactly what you're saying, Alice."
"What happened?"
"Before my injury, would have been early in my sophomore year," Lynn said.
I'd been dating a guy for quite a while. We were out for cheap Chinese food with friends, and I was sitting next to him. The bill comes at the end, and they haven't split it up, so he suggests we send it around the table, let everybody estimate what they owe. He says he'll count up the cash once everybody's tossed in. So, and I swear I wasn't even paying attention to this, but it just caught me, snagged my attention, that my boyfriend didn't add anything to the cash pile. Alice said, he didn't contribute any cash of his own?
Nuh-uh, Lynn said, shaking her head.
He counts it all up, and sure enough, of course, we're short. So a couple people, myself included, reluctantly throw in a little bit more.
You didn't say anything?
I wish I had, Lynn said, but I didn't want to embarrass him in front of the whole group if I was right about what had happened. And also a tiny part of me wasn't sure. I second-guessed myself in the moment, like maybe he had thrown in and I had just missed it.
Mikey said, or maybe it was an honest mistake. He thought he'd put his money in, just misremembered his own actions.
Sure, and that's what really gets me about all of this, Lynn said. It was entirely possible that either my perception was wrong or it had been an honest mistake. Even so, it was like you were saying, Alice, my entire opinion of him just turned on a dime. My whole idea of who he was flipped in a single moment.
Alice said, did you break up with him?
Well, that's the happy-ish ending. I didn't break up with him right away. We never discussed it. I was too non-confrontational. For a while, I just tried my hardest to rationalize it or redo it in my head. Ultimately, though, I just couldn't rid myself of the idea that he was a person who wouldn't pay his fair share if he could get away with it. That he was fundamentally shitty.
Well, yeah, Mikey agreed. I'd say that is a fundamentally shitty thing to do.
Alice said, so where's the happy-ish ending?
Oh, right, Lynn said. I made up some other wimpy excuse to break up with him a few weeks later. Said I needed to prioritize my music, make more time to practice, or something like that. And then I found out not long after that he'd been cheating on me anyway. With a vocalist, no less. A soprano, matter of fact, to add insult to injury. So,
Mikey laughed. Is that the ultimate insult?
Lynn nodded, and her curls bounced like springs.
Alice said, you dodged a bullet, my friend.
Lynn said, I dodged a cheater. But to this day, I don't know if I was even right about what happened at the Chinese restaurant. Cheating aside, it could still be the case that I was wrong about the one tiny moment that changed my entire opinion of the guy. Night and day, good to bad.
But he was a cheater, so who cares, Alice said.
It scares me, that's all, Lynn said. And it really makes me shudder to think how many things I've done over the years that might have caused someone to believe or decide that I'm bad. In a heartbeat.
Geez, how the hell did we get onto this anyway?
She returned to her bowl of pie, stirred the melted ice cream a bit, and took a bite.
I am bad, of course, she said. But you guys know that already.
Mikey laughed. You are not bad.
Lynn said, you're my friend, you have to say that. That's what friends are for, isn't it? To tell you you're good even if you're bad?
Now I remember how we got onto this. Sam.
Mikey said, but I imagine it happens the other way, too.
How's that?
A person can go from bad to good just as quick.
I used to hate this guy I work with. He's constantly complaining about how much harder he works than everybody else and how little money he makes. He's just a melodramatic pain in the ass. Then, once, I saw him at Walmart. I was behind him in line. He didn't see me there. And I noticed what he's buying. A box of ramen noodles and a bag of the nicest dog treats you can find. Organic. Real chicken in them. That's all he's buying. Just those two things. And he's counting out change, using his last dime to make the purchase. Spent twice as much on his dog's treats as his own food.
Made me, well, like you said, just changed the way I saw him from then on.
Alice said, "You're right. That's a good man."
She took a sip of her bourbon and tapped her fingertips rhythmically along the glass for a moment, then said to Lynn, "I've got a bone to pick with you."
"Oh?" Lynn said, her mouth white, full of ice cream.
Alice said, "You've been with Issa for 8 years. Why won't you marry that good man who wants to marry you, you bad girl?"
"Oh."
Lynn laughed and swallowed.
Alice said, "What are you waiting on?
Lynn pushed red curls from her face and said, "Since when did you become some sort of champion for marriage?"
Alice said, "I'm not."
She swung her bourbon in a slow circle so the ice tinkled around the glass. "Just yours."
"Why?" Lynn said again.
Alice said, "Because I like weddings." Lynn laughed. Mikey said, "Always looking out for number one," and he tipped his glass toward Alice. Lynn was quiet for a moment.
"I guess part of me has always felt unsettled. Not with Issa, certainly not with our life together, but just unsettled with before," she sighed. "I don't have the healthiest relationship with my past," she explained.
"Nor do I," Alice said.
"Me either," Mikey said.
"But what's that got to do with getting married?" Alice said. Lynn ate a bite of pie before continuing.
"Maybe this is just a cop-out," she said, "but I think a lot of the problems I've had as an adult came from losing Sally. If I really go back to the sort of center of the problems I've had, I think something had already changed inside me before I went to school and had the injury, and before the addiction became consuming. I had already darkened much earlier."
Lynn wiped her lips with a napkin.
"When we lost Sally, something inside of me changed, is what I'm trying to say."
Mikey nodded.
"Me too."
Alice said, "Me too."
Lynn continued. "Sally taught me something about people that I never wanted to know."
Alice said, "What was that?"
"That people can disappear," Lynn said. "Right before your eyes. That you'll never understand it, and there won't be a thing you can do about it."
Alice placed her hand over Lynn's knee.
"You're afraid of the people you love disappearing."
Lynn nodded.
It was quiet for a bit.
Alice turned to Mikey.
"Are you?"
"What?"
"Afraid of disappearing."
"Not particularly," Mikey said. "Although I'd want someone to feed my cat."
Lynn laughed.
"I meant of other people disappearing," Alice corrected herself. "The people you love."
"Sure," Mikey said, and his mind tickled at something unpleasant. He picked up the crust of his pie and ate it with his fingers.
Alice said, "Could be worse, Lynn. At least you didn't marry a saint because of Sally."
"How's that?"
"I was still broken-hearted," Alice said, "even after I'd been away from home at college for years. So when someone came along who thought I was a little smart, laughed at my stupid jokes, I mean, I just lapped that up like a sad, dehydrated little puppy. It was the first romantic relationship I'd been in since Sally, and I was starved for affection, validation."
She shook her head with disgust at the thought of this.
Mikey said, "So you were never in love with him? Is that why it ended so quickly?"
Alice shot him a look of annoyance.
"That's a story for another time, Inspector Clouseau," she said.
Lynn yawned.
"I'm gonna head to bed, you guys. Wake me up if Jimmy gets here tonight."
Finn was stirring around in front of the fireplace across the room. Alice turned to Mikey.
"Finn's gotta be overdue for a pee. You up for a walk?"
Alice grabbed the bottle of bourbon, and the two of them suited up. Alice pulled Chris's gloves from her black leather coat and offered them to Mikey, since he didn't have gloves of his own. They were very snug, but he managed to get them on over his fingers. He put on his coat. Alice pulled her vest over her sweater and zipped it. She withdrew mittens from the pockets in her vest and put them on.
Alice said, "All I got's this vest. You think Sam would mind?"
She nodded toward Sam's large, puffy blue coat.
Mikey said, "Nah."
Alice pulled Sam's coat on and said,
"Good
God, it's a perfect fit. How depressing. Let's go. She retrieved a little baggie of bone-shaped biscuits from her purse. Then they walked out the side door, and Alice briefly surveyed their surroundings. Thick woodlands to the south, a few faraway lights to the north, the frozen lake out to the west. She nodded in this direction. Want to head down toward the beach?
Sure.
Finn moved slowly, happily snuffling the snow with a lopsided grin, his blue eye bright. Alice and Mikey trudged together through the thick snow. She unscrewed the cap of the bourbon, took a swig, and handed it Mikey's way. He took a swig as well, felt the heat of it like a shock. Alice said, "So there's a special lady in your life? You never say so in your emails, but I always assume you're just being coy." Mikey laughed. "No," he said, and he tried to come up with some sort of joke to steer the conversation in a different direction, but nothing came to mind, so he just said no again. His glasses were covered in fog, so he took them off and wiped them clean with his fingertip. Alice said, "What's the matter with you? Are you on drugs?" "Excuse me?" Alice stopped walking for a moment, then moved into Mikey's path so that he could not proceed without her. She looked him directly in the eye, through his glasses, which had already partially fogged up again. "Mikey, you're like... I don't say this lightly. You are actually the best person I know. You are actually my favorite."
"Thank you.
And you were about to tell me what's the matter with me?"
"Why aren't you in a relationship?
Do you date?"
"I have," Mikey said. "It's just nothing quite took."
Alice took a step back. She stared out over the frozen lake before them for a bit. The moon was fat and gray overhead. In addition to the pleasant heat and tickle of the bourbon, Mikey felt the lingering effects of the marijuana. The world was still a bit strange and slow. Falling snowflakes were big and lazy and funny, the white mist billowing from his nostrils with each exhale a wonder. The sky was packed with stars. A distant train's horn sounded. Alice said, "Are you a virgin?"
"I'm not going to make fun."
"Leave me alone, Alice."
"Wait, really?
Please shut up.
I'm not making fun, it's just... really?"
"Thank you," Mikey said. "Your empathy is truly admirable." Alice stepped toward Mikey, very close to him, set the bourbon on the ground beneath her feet, stuck it straight into the snow. Then she rose and took Mikey's right hand in both of hers. She tugged Chris's glove off his hand and tossed it into a bank of snow. She held his bare hand. She said, "Now close your eyes and pretend I'm not me." Mikey closed his eyes, but he found himself unable to imagine anyone other than Alice standing before him. Alice took Mikey's hand, and she didn't unzip Sam's coat or her vest, but felt her way up under these layers of clothing, guiding Mikey's hand first to her soft belly, then up underneath her bra to her left breast. Mikey suddenly felt his own heart flashing. Alice's breast was full yet light, warm, textured with goosebumps. Then Mikey felt Alice's mouth on his own, her tongue gently pushed into his mouth and around it, tasting of bourbon, tasting raw and scary and good. Then Alice's hand was on his crotch, rubbing him through his zipper. He felt pressure everywhere, blood squeezing tight through every passage. Alice's lips moved to his ear, tugged it gently, her breath warm and ticklish. Then back to his mouth. Lust was zipping through Mikey, a fist squeezing his chest. "This is so unlike me," Mikey thought. "This is so unlike me." He abruptly pulled away from her and opened his eyes. "Alice," he said.
"Why not?"
"I'm not in love with you."
"What does that matter?
You love me, don't you? And you know I love you." Mikey paused. "I'm not sure what I think about love." Alice frowned.
"I hope you're not thinking about Christine. That's not it, is it?"
We're in what they call an open relationship, Mikey. All the kids are doing it.
Mikey laughed and said, okay, but when Alice leaned in to kiss him a second time, he backed away again. Alice bent to grab the bottle of bourbon from the snow beneath her feet. Rose took a long swig from it, grimaced, and coughed.
Are you not attracted to me? She said.
Her finger went to her chin.
Is it the zit cream?
Mikey laughed. No, he said, you're very beautiful. Alice threw a hand in the air with exasperation.
Now you're just telling lies, like I'm some kid you have to console. Like I'm not tall enough to ride the ride, but you still want me to feel like I'm having fun.
I'm not in love with you either, but, well, it's so cold out here.
I just wanted to warm up with you. I wanted to have some fun.
Alice did a fast, funny little dance in the snow. Mikey laughed.
It is cold out here, he agreed.
He tried to find the right words to explain himself. He said, I don't do things I haven't thought about for a while first. That's just not me. He paused, then said again, I don't do things like that.
Alice leaned her ear closer to his mouth.
Who?
Mikey thought maybe she'd misheard.
Me, he said. I don't.
Well,
Alice's chin jerked into her neck, a look of irritation curled across her face.
I'm glad you know you so well, she said.
She paused and took another sip of bourbon before passing the bottle to Mikey.
Anyhow, she said, don't make it weird, okay? Between us? I couldn't handle that.
Let me explain myself.
You really don't have to. I wanted to have an experience with you. Share something special.
Anyhow, I don't know what I'm saying.
Mikey said, we do share something special, don't we?
Alice said, blah, blah, blah. She stared out across the frozen lake.
I don't like what you said earlier, though.
Which part?
You said you don't know what you think about love.
Oh, Mikey said.
Well, I don't.
Why, do you?
Not entirely, Alice said. But I've probably told 50 people that I love them, and I've meant it every time.
She paused.
Of course, I've probably told that many people that I hated them and meant that every time, too.
Mikey laughed.
Alice said, this is a serious question. Have you ever in your life told someone that you love them?
Mikey's whole chest suddenly seized, as if he'd had the air knocked out of him. Alice stared at him.
Mikey.
She took him by his shoulders and looked straight at his eyes. Her eyes were black and intense, like she could have been in great pain or ecstasy.
Mikey, she said again, has anyone other than me, 5 minutes ago, ever told you that they love you?
Mikey thought of Alice's question from earlier, at the dinner table. The worst thing I've ever done. Suddenly the words were right there, bubbling up like lava from a dark place.
No, Mikey said, and I don't think I love him either.
Alice stared at him.
You mean your father? She said.
Mikey nodded, still feeling these words deep and black in his chest.
He said, it's not simple.
I don't imagine it is, Alice said.
What I mean is, he hasn't given me any good reason not to love him, Mikey said. And it's not that I haven't tried.
Alice was quiet for a bit. Then she said,
then why don't you just decide that whatever you feel toward him is love?
Mikey cocked his head sideways and looked at her broad, handsome face.
You can't just change the definition of things to suit yourself.
Why not?
Because that's straight up delusional.
Maybe so, Alice said, but you'd never have to know it.
And at least then you wouldn't have to act like you're completely at the mercy of yourself.
Aren't I? Aren't we all?
Good God, Alice said. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Good God, that's horrific. She breathed into one fist, then the other, and asked, how are you so sure that what you feel for him isn't love?
Mikey considered this.
Because it doesn't feel like it.
Alice said, "You have a hopelessness that I've really come to cherish." The callus of bitter resentment was so thick it had overtaken Mikey's heart like a tumor, and the range of emotion